An item of additional business today. We have the presentation as to potential 2023 County Council initiatives and development design ideas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As discussed at the end of the Commission's last meeting, this was discussed before County Council at its meeting of March 7th. And on the screens in the room and online is a copy of the presentation that Mr. Lawson, Mr. Robertson and I gave to County Council on various development design ideas being considered. And we put this on the agenda to allow us to speak to and provide a more detailed summary than we did in the last meeting. Just going through, make sure my keyboard works.
That's just while he's getting his keyboard to work, the idea is to go through, not to have a real discussion on these today, it's just to sort of get you all thinking about things that council's thinking about themselves, because there is going to be a joint workshop later this spring with council and the commission to sort of just, you know, not reach any conclusions, but hash out possible initiatives as far as any code changes that may be appropriate or not, you know, going forward. So this is kind of just the primer for that.
Great.
Sure. And it's not, you know, if you all have any other ideas you want to consider, that's fine too. This is an exclusive list of things. So.
And just to keep it to a very high level, Mr. Chairman, the topics, the development design ideas can be roughly put into five broad categories: open space, superior design, subdivision standards, forest preservation, and site work. I don't propose to go through word for word, but consideration is being given to the open space definition that's currently in code, and that's displayed on the screen right now. With the current wording shows that open space must be predominantly undeveloped or in a natural state, and the focus of the conversation before County Council is what is and is not allowed within areas of open space, and I don't propose to go through it line by line as to what those areas are, but we were specifically looking at areas like amenities, which include buildings and structures and paving and sometimes swimming pools and other structures, and considering a little bit further about whether they are or whether a refinement to the definition of open space could yield some benefit. So I don't propose to go through line by line the exact presentation, but if you look at the definition of what open space does not permit, so Mr. Robertson had his hand up there.
Yeah, no, so just so you all know, and this is, and you ought to take a look at it, and 115-4 is the definition of open space. And, you know, there's the paragraph that says what it is. There's some inconsistencies potentially within that narrative and these items that are actually considered open space. And then there's a question of whether these items should actually be considered open space, whether additional things should be considered open space, whether some of these items should be taken off this list or clarified. And then it also specifically lists items that are not included in the open space calculations. And again, same thing, you know, do these need to be clarified, or there's things that should be added or deleted from this list? So, you know, at some point between now, because this is a topic that I think is going to be reviewed, between now and when we have that workshop, take a look at 115.4 and just give that some thought.
So that was the open space section. The next section was superior design, and there were a series of ideas being considered, and we were able to condense those into bullet points, like considering additional options that allow flexibility and better design, including consideration of the yield plan, and this was in code previously. The yield plan requires the applicant to show what would be allowed under a standard subdivision and then compare the cluster subdivision to the standard subdivision to show why it's genuinely superior. Also, consideration could potentially be given to reviewing perimeter buffer sizes, including potential additional protections for buffer protection, the idea of a rolling berm and solid fence options. At the moment, there's an alternative option at the moment that you could propose a buffer, a berm, or a fence, and whether that should be clarified to show a preference or just a requirement for a forested buffer of a specified depth. And then also looking at minimum lot sizes within cluster subdivisions. Again, these are just topics of conversation, and the aim was that the presentation was not to get into detail. Also considering looking at subdivision standards, at the moment you have the 99-9C criteria that you look at for subdivisions, and there are certain requirements that you have to look at, for example, minimum use of wetlands.
Well, let me, because this is the one that they asked me to talk about at council. The first thing is that, you know, we all know 99-9C, there's the 17 items or whatever, but it states that the council shall, or the commission, excuse me, shall consider a list of items. Well, what does that mean? You know, and do we look at changing the word consider to make it more affirmative that these items must be satisfied, that sort of thing. So, and then look at the list of 17 items, see if there's things that should be made more clear, maybe things that are no longer applicable, maybe there's things that in the future should be applicable that aren't listed within 999C. So, but kind of taking a look at that and what's it really say right now, and do we need to improve upon whether it's a consideration or a requirement?
Back to me. Thank you. And then in terms of forest preservation, which was the next segment, is the number of ideas like considering additional incentives and options that allow flexibility and better design to encourage forest preservation. So averaging, for example, or those types of ideas. Considering a forest assessment prior to site work. Now, at the moment, applicants have to show on a subdivision plan how much forest there is, but a forest assessment is a better qualitative tool, and it's a quantitative tool as well, that will allow the Commission to better understand the quality of forests on an existing site. And there are also ideas as well, again, linking back to the developing protections to those existing wooded areas that are to be retained as perimeter buffers, what mechanisms can be put in place to ensure that they are not interfered with during construction and that they are there in perpetuity. Again, develop protections to the property during the land use process, i.e. what happens during the application and post-application, all the way through to implementation and then individual dwelling construction. And then we wanted to include some photographs to council. This is an example of a buffer where existing trees were retained, and you can see that it's not just the trees themselves, it's the understory as well. So it's a way you have an existing mature buffer that's retained. There are definitely benefits to doing that, whereas if you plant a new buffer, and there's an example here of the trees in the back, the evergreen Leylandii species, that's not part of the buffer. It's the two rows in front. And the reason we wanted to show this is that, especially where they're planting in spring, where there's limited leaf cover, it will take some time for the buffer to reach maturity. And I have another photo as well of one. We inspect these, and these are our inspection photos at the time of initial planting. It will take time for a new buffer to grow up and reach maturity compared to one that's already forested and being retained. So we wanted to include that to show that consideration is being given to better incentivizing the retention of existing mature forests. So in summary, and this is how we left the presentation with County Council, that these are the next steps going forward. So review the information currently available, and to gather additional feedback, and then to make this presentation to the Planning and Zoning Commission on the overall topics being considered. And the next significant step moving forward would be to hold a joint Council Commission workshop, and then Council can then provide direction on top priorities following that workshop. So in summary, although I moved through it very quickly, Mr. Chairman, that's the presentation that was provided on March 7th. So,
all right. Okay. So put your thinking caps on, you know, and we'll make sure Holly gets a copy of this and Keller as well, just so they've got it. I mean, I know it was in the packet,
right.
Just so, because it's a good starting point, you know, for the conversation when we have that workshop meeting.
Okay, thank you.
The other thing too, just because it was on the packet before we moved past, we're not going to go through it, but that same Tuesday, Mr. Lawson gave a Sussex County Council initiatives review, because you know everybody sort of looks at things, you know, one shot at a time, you know what I mean, so not comprehensively, we're not going to go through it, but it's a good listing of things that have been undertaken, that are underway, or that have been accomplished, not just P&Z wise, but Delaware Code, coordination with DelDOT, you know, there was broadband in here, airport construction was in here, and other things that should be of interest. It's kind of a snapshot of things that are recently completed or currently underway, significant initiatives by council. So.
All right, thank you.